Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh 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 oh. Oh yeah, it's about Saturday. Oh no. Let's go, y'all. We got a show. Excellent show. It's time. It's 2 o'clock, y'all. East time. East Coast time. We're gonna do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Motivation, empowerment, and a little bit more. Come on with me now. Come on.
Yeah,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Girl, that's what I got.
Oh yeah. You know what to say. It's better love. There is no better love. I'll say it again. There's no better love than for self and kind. There is no greater love than for self and kind. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour. It's Marvin Roan and a crew doing what we do. It's Empowerment Saturday. Today's topic is we need a strategy just to catch up. I'm going to say that again. We need a strategy just to catch up. What strategies are you going to incorporate mind, body, spirit, educationally, culturally? What strategies are you going to put in place to catch up with those who are well ahead of you because of the system that's been in place? These are the things that we talk about. The tenets of the NAA we'll get to in just a minute. But we're talking about African-American empowerment. Who's doing that? And if you think about all the agendas that's going on around the country, there is no major push for black empowerment, right? You got all these different groups that I won't name because nobody's going to be mad with me for naming them. But everybody got an agenda except us for our children and our families. Where's the agenda? Where's the strategy to ensure that our needs are met, the needs of our communities, of our children? All you got to do is go ride around any city, and when you get to the back part, you'll see where we are. And then all you got to do is look on the news, and you'll hear about us. Or you go to the funeral parlors and see where they are. They're still our people. It's still our work. It's still our doing. We got to love ourselves. All I'm asking you to do is look at the situation critically and then come up with a strategy. Come up with a practice. And then come up with daily practices that's going to continue to do the work of empowering our people. We got to do that. That's our work. That's our job. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, and culturally. That's the work that we have to do. And now for the tenets of the NAAEA. So the mission first of the National African American Empowerment Association is to ensure that the needs of the African American communities are met. That's us, you and me, through the development of programs and services that support, inspire, motivate, and empower us to do the work of recovering. This is recovery work here. It's not like we got it all together, because we don't. And if we think we're doing that, then we're fooling ourselves, because we don't have it all together. All you guys do is look around. So let's go to the tenets of the NAAEA. It's peace. It's the peace concept and the peace program. Y'all got to get this now. Listen carefully. Politics. You have to have a political agenda. So let's I'm in Virginia, for y'all that's around the world and around the country. Let's look at the politics in Virginia. Are those who have been fully elected are going to do the work to help our communities improve themselves from the enslavement and the mental side that we went through, that we will recover and heal, and that we will eradicate the school-to-prison pipeline, along with police brutality, racial profiling, and so on and so forth, and et cetera, and et cetera. We'll just start there. And that we can get into the political arena and play effectively, that will begin to eradicate things like gentrification and redlining, for example, right? We won't even get into other things that happen. I'll just leave it right there. Do you have a political agenda where you live that you're actively participating, right? Because those who don't participate don't elevate. Sorry, you just don't. Not in this country. Again, you got to have an agenda in the land of milk and honey. That's all I'm saying. If you understand the system, then you know how to effectively navigate it. That's all I'm saying. There's a system in place. That's why they don't want you to know how to vote. That's why they keep changing the rules, because there's some things that they can't change. Just can't, right? Whoever they are, I'm being ambiguous today, if you don't mind. Economics. We need an economic agenda because we need money. You need money in the land of milk and honey. We're going to talk about that today as well. You do. If you ain't got no paper, you're going to have a problem. Because that's where robbing and stealing and killing and dysfunction come from also, right? We want to speak to the trauma, the mental and emotional trauma. But you got to have an economic platform and an economic agenda that creates institutions for our children that will comprise of things that's going to help them elevate themselves, get that confidence that they need. That would be on the cultural end of that. That's just one thing. With STEM programs, yep. Teaching them science and technology, mathematics, all those things that we used to do in their consciousness as they're waiting to be brought forth in them. Athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, right? Do you have a nutritional agenda? What are you eating? Do you work out? Are you taking care of yourself? You got to take care of your body. You got to take care of your temple. You do. That's your job. Your job is to take care of you, right? What are you putting out in terms of your action and your activities? Are you healthy? Those things are important. Are you on medications? If you are, then you got to think about some things. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just saying we got to do the work of getting back right, right? We got to eat inside of our culture. When you understand what your culture is, do you know how to eat inside of it? That's what programs and services do. Next, culture. We need relevant cultural programs that motivate, empower, and inspire our young people and our communities to do what they need to do. We need cultural programs to help our parents learn how to be parents again. We just do. We do. We need to learn how to be parents once again. And there's nothing wrong with that. Who's teaching our people how to parent? Right? Those are the things that need to happen, because all you got to do is go down in this community, go down to where some of your real family members live and see how it's being conducted, and then you can decide for yourself. Lastly, it's education. It's comprehensive education. That comprehensive education has to prepare us to prepare the next generation for survival. Y'all know what I call it, strival and survival. Are we striving to survive, or are we just surviving, plain surviving, plain getting in to fit in, going along to get along? Right? We have to have, again, an agenda. We need a strategy just to catch up, right? Somebody's already generations ahead of you, and you're going to have to be able to go huddle up and say, all right, this is the play we run it, and run that play. Play chess and make your queen the biggest piece on the board that know how to run things the right way. Now, we got to honor our queens, brothers, sisters. You got to honor yourself, kings. You got to respect yourself, sisters. We got to get the work done. That's the tenets of the NAA. Join today. Don't take much, right? It's just a decision. You ain't got to sign no papers or nothing. Just say, I want to be a part of the NAAEA, National African American Empowerment Association, www.naaea.weebly.com, W-E-E-B-L-Y. Yep, that's how we're doing it. So you gotta realize, right, there's work to be done, and we need a strategy. We do. We need good parents. We need schools, not prisons. We need education, not incarceration. And we need health and wealth. That's what we need. It's a Stay Immaculate moment, y'all.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
That's so true. When we're going to stop trying to get in to fit in and create those institutions that we need? Because once you know who you are, then you could be more effective at doing it. You could be more effective at creating those institutions and then keeping them in place.
But we must unify, let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on Earth.
That is so true. So true. We're the original kings and queens. Sorry, world. Letting it out. All right? All you got to do is get with brothers and sisters who know. And don't resist it. Fight the Willie Lynch chip. I'm going over to Brother George with the Willie Lynch Kwanzaa segment, bringing you in right now, brother. Let's go.
Like that.
Brother George.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, brother. All praise due to Allah. I really appreciate you giving me the time. And the more and more that I get a chance to read the Kwanzaa principles of the day, the more and more it sinks in that Dr. Malala Karanga put these together, not just for 7 days between the 26th of December and January the 1st, but from January the 1st to December the 31st. Now, today's principle is umoja, unity, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Now, I think that really fits right in with what we're going to be discussing today. You know, how to put together an agenda just to catch up. And I think that's going to be a great conversation today. Now, the Willie Lynch segment, today I'm going to talk about one of our ancient, great figures, of ancient times. And I'm reading out of the book called Imhotep, the Egyptian God of Medicine. There will be a further appeal to the growing number of cultured people who are thrilled by the story of ancient Egypt as it is gradually being unraveled. The land of the pharaohs possesses a charm which can scarcely be rivaled by any other country, and which steadily grows as its extraordinary history is better understood. Nowhere else do we meet with so ancient a civilization that can be reconstructed with an equal degree of certainty. Lastly, our narrative makes its strongest appeal to the process, to the profession, which in every country of the world devotes its life to the relief of suffering and cure of disease. Of unique interest to that profession must be the life of Imhotep, one of the earliest of known physicians, who made deep impressions on his fellow countrymen that his memory endured through many centuries until he was eventually raised to the rank of Egyptian God of Medicine. A further object of these pages is to draw attention to the claims of Imhotep to be acknowledged as the patron deity of medicine, claims which were acknowledged by the Egyptian physicians and which are incomparably older than those possessed by his Semitic mythical rival, Asclepius. I read all the way through to that point because I could have stopped at him, being raised to the level of the Egyptian god of medicine. Asclepius is a name, actually, that the Greeks called Imhotep. And so some things are written and it's not completely accurate. The information not completely accurate because they were not rivals. They were the same person. But because in Greek they called him Asclepius, they were really talking about the same person being the god of medicine. And once again, I'm bringing these figures up because there was only one first. And so if in Africa, whether it be in Egypt, whether it be in Ghana, whether it be in Monomotapa, it doesn't matter. Whatever came first, if the mathematical sciences were first studied there, that's first. It's not in Greece. It's not in Rome. It's not in Europe. That's where those systems originated. And everything, every kind of social system and civil system that we have today originated in Africa, because it only makes sense. You can't come up with all of these theories of medicine, with all of these theories of biology, these theories of chemistry, without having civilized living. There had to be some civil structure there. But I mean, it's not hard to prove that, because they taught it at the universities in ancient Egypt. And so I just wanted to point out another figure in our history that we should be proud of and that we should try to teach our children about, so that they can aspire to become men like Asclepius or Imhotep. So it's back to you, brother.
All right, Brother George, before you go, what's one way our people who are not familiar with our history can become familiar with our history?
Well, you really can find a lot on YouTube, and you need to put in the correct names to listen to guys like Dr. Clark, you know, Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Yusuf Ben Yohanan, Dr. His name escapes me, but I will, it'll come to me, you know, but, check out the DR.
Yeah, just go to the next one, because there's plenty of them.
John G. Jackson, you know, but what I'm saying is there are videos of them giving lectures, and if you listen to those lectures, you know, like I was saying before with my other lecture, that we need to flood our people with information about us. We just need to be trying to look at something every day if we can. And the more that information gets into your head, the more the history fits together with what's going on today. Because the main thing you want to do is you want to tie yourself up between where your historical continuity was broken, which was in the 1500s when we became slaves here. Our historical continuity was broken because they gave us a new history, the history of the Negro. And so we was not Negroes before we came here. So, you know, they gave us a name and they turned us into a different type of human being that was, you know, for their service. And so, like, the more our people, you know, spend time educating themselves about ourselves and educating our children about ourselves, I can assure you that in time we will begin to change, and we will begin to do the things necessary to come up with those solutions to solve the problems that we have today, economically, educationally, human civilization, you know, just all of it. You know, providing for ourselves, all of those things comes out of the minds of our children. And if you don't prepare our children to come up with those type of solutions, then they're going to come up with the solutions of the people who prepare their minds. you know, and I don't want to take up all the time, brother, because I'm kind of full today, you know. So,
right.
So, but that's, you know, I think we need to just load ourselves up with information about self, politically, socially, historically, economically, just all kinds of information that that talk about our experience, you know, the experience that we have had in this world. And I'm pretty sure that it will put us on that right path.
I like it, brother. Thank you so much, Brother George.
Thank you, brother.
All right. I'll come back to you later. I promise. That's Brother George. Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. Brother talked about unity. We need unity in our families. We really do. We need it in our community, and we need it in our race more than ever. We do. That's why I said we need a strategy for moving forward. Strategies, plural. We need good parents. No, 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 no. We need great parents. Like the brother said, when the doctor deliver a child now and hand it off to the parents, they need to run with that ball and protect it. You just can't be giving your kids to just anybody to teach, train, and develop. That's your job. Whatever happened to really being a good parent, good mom and a good daddy? That's what we need. We need great schools, not just good schools, not just buildings. We need to educate our kids and not prepare them for incarceration. We need to teach them how to take care of themselves. We have to do that. But we got to show them that we love them. But we have to learn what love is, because that was stripped out of us as much as they could, and it's still there. When are we going to stand up for what's right and keep bending and bowing and scraping over for what's wrong? Always shifting and shucking and jiving and want to just get in and get along when right is right and wrong is wrong. We got to stand up for what's right. Again, we need unity in our family and in our community more than ever. Let's begin to bring it forward and pay it forward for the ancestors that died and the ancestors who were the original builders. Let's get back to civilizing the world. We'll first start by civilizing ourselves. We're great. We had a great history. The work has to be done. It has to be. So we have to be patient with each other, with ourselves. We have to learn how to sit down and be quiet and listen and learn. Be still. Still ourselves. Quiet our hearts and minds. And learn how to reclaim ourselves, our minds, our ways, our hearts, our attitudes, our actions, our activities that are right, that are loyal, and that are royal. That's what we need. And I like that, because that's what we need. We do. We really, really do. We really do. All right. I'm going to the laws of my eye. I'm only going to do a few of them today, and then I'm going to 9282. Hang in there, y'all.
The 42 Laws of Ma'at.
Just use one.
I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land.
How about that one?
I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 laws of my lot.
How about that? Choose one or two or just a few and apply them to your lives. It's not even about your religious or spiritual preference. It's about a way of living. And if we could get those characteristics and qualities down in our young people, the world would change. Just if we do it ourselves. That's the challenge. I got one more clip real quick, and then I'm going to 9282. Hold on for me, brother.
So how? What's the solution?
So how do we get that?
Well, here's the thing. We got to recognize that wealth is intergenerationally created. Mm-hmm. Most people who get rich don't get rich in a lifetime. Oprah, that's once in a while. Bill Gates, that's once in a while. Most people are intergenerational wealth. That means what? That if black people want to catch up, we have to start saving wealth and passing it to the next generation. Our biggest problem ain't that we're splurging. It's that every time we splurge, we're stealing from our descendants. You're giving them no inheritance to get started with. But the white child, they're starting out $100,000 plus, a million dollars plus. And I think we have to become more strategic in the way that we do our health plan, as well as our life insurance plans. Because what I'm learning with a lot of these white folks, a lot of them are getting their first, what you want to call a shock of wealth, through the life insurance policy of their parents.
We talk about that too. Life insurance policy.
Yeah. So there's so many different strategies towards wealth that we're not even thinking about because black people, our selfishness, it's also based on our, what you want to call it, emergency consciousness, survival instinct. We're only worrying about our life. We do not think about those who come after us. Now, you got to realize now, when we got out of slavery, white folks been already building wealth for a couple centuries.
Right.
We started behind the eight ball. Okay? So you got to play catch up. How do you catch up with somebody who's 100 yards in front of you? You have to run faster than they are.
That means
we have to sacrifice our spending habits more than everyone else in order to catch up. How does a people who are at the bottom waste money more than people who are at the top? So not only are you not catching up, you're not even thinking about it, trying to catch up.
This is good. We got 1,000 questions.
I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. We got to catch up. We need strategies. We need, boy, do we need it. And that is my plea. That's our call for the Empowerment Network, right? How can we continue to work together to collaborate, to get on our feet, and let's get the ball moving? I'm going to the lines now. I got some new music. Here we go, 9282. It's your turn. Let's go. Go, go. It's your turn, 9282. Go.
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum, brother.
May peace be unto you, my brother. How are you today?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Good. I'm going to go back to something we've talked about before by saying the first characteristic of the being a one is be honest with yourself.
That's right.
We must be honest with ourselves, okay?
I got that one down.
All right, so now I'm going to ask a question, and I guess it's a rhetorical question that they call it, but I'm going to ask it anyway, then I'm going to find the answer. The question is, when did the master know that he had been successful in turning a black man into a slave? When did he know this? Okay? And the answer is, when it became easier to change a field nigga into a house nigga than it is to change a house nigga into a field nigga. Okay? Let me say that again. He knew when it became easier to change a field nigga into a house nigga than it is to change a house nigga into a field nigga. See, it's damn near impossible now to change a house nigga into a field nigga. Let me define what I'm talking about. The field niggas, the original field niggas, okay, were warriors, okay? They were the gods, the queens, you know, the goddesses. And when they realized they had been deceived and tricked and suckered and so forth and fooled by their enemy, by their slave master, they became active warriors. Their thing was to try to kill their master, their slave master, and not be his slave, okay? Break away from him. That's why they had to be chained and shackled and whipped and horsewhipped all the time and instill the fear in them to try to break that field nigga, as they were called, because he was trying to get even and destroy his master, not to be his slave. That's the field nigga, okay? But now it's become easier to break that field nigga because we done lost over time, over generations after generation, our knowledge of ourselves as warriors and gods and goddesses and kings and queens with fighting for our freedom. And so now it's easier to change that so-called field nigga into a house nigga, but damn near impossible to change that house nigga back into a field nigga. To change that nigga that love America, to change that nigga that love his master more than he loves himself, to change that nigga that really just hates himself and bring harm to himself and his people, to make him change back to being a warrior that wants to kill his master is damn near impossible. So that's when you know I've got my slave. He is convinced. Mm. He loves me more than he loves himself, and he will kill himself versus trying to kill me. That's when I know I'm his master. And we should know, my second point, one thing that should show us to this day that we are still slaves and house niggas is that we speak our master's language. How can you be a free black man and woman and you don't speak your language and don't even know what your original language was or is? That's a slave. He gives us your names, our names. He defines our reality for us. He has to define every word in his language to us to kind of give us to understand what he's talking about when he means what it means. He's taught us words like shit, damn, mother, although those are his words, his language that we've been taught from the plantation. Agreed. That should let us know. That should let us know that we're still slaves. And the last thing I'm going to touch on right now in this part of the conversation is we as people should be fighting for our freedom, not acceptance. Mm. Fight for our freedom, not our acceptance. Our ancestors didn't fight for our acceptance. Our ancestors didn't die so one day we would have the right to vote. Our ancestors did not die so one day we'd be able to sit next to a white man on the toilet or drink from the same water fountain that he drinks from, or to be able to go down to City Hall and protest. Our ancestors did not die for that. Our ancestors died for our freedom. They died so we wouldn't be hoping that we would never be in the situation that we are in today. That's why they died. And to say they died for anything else does them an injustice. To say that they died so we could become the first nigga to be a Navy admiral, we're the first nigga to become a journalist and editor of the largest newspaper in the Navy, the first nigga to be the chairman of the board of Best Product, the first, that they did not die for that. They died for our freedom. That's why millions of them in the Middle Passage threw their babies off the board, off the ships, That's why they were killing them, because they didn't want them to have to grow up into this hell as niggers that we've grown up in and continue to grow up in. And we also must realize that slavery, of course not, it didn't end. Slavery was the beginning of establishing a system called capitalism or democracy. They needed the niggers at the bottom of that system to be able to generate and feed and to support the system. Imagine if there were no niggers, black folk, at the bottom of this democracy or capitalism that we live in, and was only white folk. That would have been a revolution 200 years ago, because white folk wouldn't have put up with, no, we not the bottom of this thing. We're not niggas, so y'all at the top can pimp us and make money. They needed the slaves. They needed the niggas. And we must fight for our freedom, not for anything else but our freedom. If we're not fighting for freedom, I'm not involved in the fight. We have to fight for our freedom, not acceptance. You understand what I'm saying, brother? We know, we don't need to be fighting so I can eat, in the same restaurant as my master and say we've made progress, we've come a long way. Hell no. We still slaves in it. So long as this system is in existence and we in it, we will be slaves in it. House niggas. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Woo. Say the mouthful. I think we first have to stop fighting each other. That Willie Lynch shit. I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you at all, brother. But I think we got to do some homework first, and that's the internal work to prepare our minds for anything we want to do forward, because we are messed up in a whole lot of ways. I'm going to go over to 0673. 0673, you're next on the Empowerment Hour. Come on.
Bring it. What? Right here.
0673. Good afternoon, brother.
I'm,
how are you?
I'm fine. I'm talking about the Willie Lynch report that Brother George gave. Our ancestor, Dr. John Henry Clark, went to his elder's office, Arturo Schomburg, and said, teach me about African black history. And he said, what you call African history is the missing pages of world history.
Mm.
Go tell your teacher. Go tell your master. So a lot of these things are in books like Encyclopedia. I'm looking at the 1961 Encyclopedia. If you know who you are, they have the information right there. George mentioned that Aesculapius was Imhotep. In the World Book of Encyclopedia 1961, he has Aesculapius spelled A-E-S-C-U-L-A-P-I-U-S. It doesn't give a birth date. It said he was the son of Apollo and a nymph Coronis, the mythology of Greece and Rome. But they don't give you a birth date. But you have to know who you are to look up Imhotep. If you don't look up, if you don't know who you are, you would never look up Imhotep. So Imhotep is
true.
The same World Book of Encyclopedia. World Book of Encyclopedia is not an African publication. It's a Euro publication. So they tell you some truths, but you got to know who you are to know what to look up for. When you go to Imhotep, spell I-M-H-O-T-E-P, and it gives you a birth date, you know. It says, an Egyptian physician is honored in medicine as the first physician we know by name. He served as vizier to King Zosia of the third Egyptian dynasty. His fame became so great that after his death, the Egyptians elevated him to the status of God and worshiped him for his healing powers. And they said the Greeks identified, this is what they said. This is the World Book of Encyclopedia. This is not Jet. This is not Ebony. This is the World Book of Encyclopedia. The Greeks identified him with their own god of healing, Aesculapius. So when you look at the Hippocratic Oath, right, we as Africans and we who know our history know it's making reference to Imhotep in the Hippocratic Oath that doctors them take. But they had the word Aesculapius in there. So if you don't know you're talking about yourself, that's because you haven't done the research. So if you study European history, you'll find out the missing pages of African history. And so I just want to add some support to what George said, because you can go online and look for information, but it's right in front of you. But you got to know who you are first.
Wow. I like that, brother. Thank you so much. I'm trying to get back to you, brother. I like that. See, that's education, right? And that's what we need. Imagine if our kids were getting that. We can't lose when we inform our people, whether they like it or not. It's almost like this, right? This is what how information works. If you keep telling a lie over and over and over and over again, soon it will become the truth to somebody. And then the truth of that lie will become a belief. If we continue to educate our people, whether they disbelieve it or not, if we keep on telling them how great they are, they will have to become to believe it one day soon. All right, I'm going over to 9116. 9116, it's your turn. It's ready to go. 9116, go. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Y'all, hey.
You know I'm always with the
kid. Good afternoon.
I'm out here with the son.
That's all right.
How you doing?
All right, parent. He parent on the move. I like that. How you doing today? Keep on doing what you're doing, brother. I like
great.
The example.
Doing great. Thank you, sir. So I just wanted to kind of piggyback and touch on some other things like the mental conditioning that they've handed to us, mostly here in America. Excuse me, catch my breath. Those hills got me.
Take your time, brother.
The mental conditioning. Instead of, like the brother said, instead of us thriving and thirsting and keeping our tunnel vision on freedom and independence and being self-reliant, a lot of us, or a lot of the ones that don't want to see unified progress, there's a lot of individualism, like the brother said, too. So the ones that are just content with the individual prizes and the individual come-ups, they focus more so on education, which is a good thing. But let's not always mistake that education versus intellect and knowledge. Education can be shifted around and changed.
I like that.
To have knowledge itself, and intellect for yourself is the most valuable thing. Like self. And then they gave us the conditioning piece of the mental conditioning is very important. Like we got to change that. Like the sports, either rap or sports or all these different entertainment things that our kids strive towards versus having something sustainable to hand down, something that we can influence our kids with on a successful level. Like all our kids
see a
LeBron James or a Lil Wayne or whoever the rapper or entertainer may be or comic. And those are the ones that are in the light. And those are the ones that they even go to speak on our people when it comes to slavery or injustice. They go to the entertainers. They don't go to scholars. But we got to change the narrative and the mental conditioning of what our kids are seeing as a success piece.
True.
Everybody can't be a rapper, a basketball player, or a comic, you know, but I noticed our brothers and sisters from Africa, the pure Africans, they have a whole different degree of greatness.
Mm.
They always strive to be doctors, lawyers. Their president is set way different than us Americans here.
True.
Because they haven't been mental conditioned like we have been. And it's something that we really have to start putting on a different level and handing it down, the wealth piece, the economics piece, the political piece, like you always talk about. We it's time to, like, really sit down and have, like, that best, heaviest minds in the world. They have these think tanks. Like, all of us are great intellects with great minds. But they'll take their great minds and sit down on what's the next thing to do for the race or for the group that can move the race. Because a group of great intellects like ourselves, we can move this race. We can set a president of what's what's famous, what's trending. Like, it's sad, but that's the thing that moves most of our people. What's trending or what's successful? The intellects of every race can move their people. So I feel like we can do that.
True.
So I just wanted to have some think tanks and start coming up with some things. Because you guys motivate me, to be honest. Which are these talks, they motivate me. So that's all I wanted to touch on today. The mental conditioning is very important.
Thank you, brother. I like it. Keep coming. Keep coming.
You.
Keep showing up. Keep being a good dad. I appreciate that, brother.
Thank you.
Man, you're welcome. That's what I'm talking about, right? It's the little things. It's the little things. It's the little things. We have to see first. Then we have to learn or unlearn, wherever you are. And then we got to know. And once you know who you are, things begin to change. Once you know who you are, things begin to change. So let's take a step back, and then I'm going over to 4600 when I come back.
Hi, I'm Clint Smith, and this is Crash Course Black American History. There are all sorts of ways that societies restrict people's movement. For example, people can put gates and fences around their homes and communities. Or there are traffic cones that tell us where we can and can't drive, even though sometimes I might accidentally run over them. I'm working on it. But some methods that society uses to restrict the movements of people are far more sinister, far more serious, and based on distorted beliefs, have no sincere interest in the safety of those people. What I'm thinking of in this case are something called slave codes. Slave codes were based on the belief that black Americans were just an economic investment. They were purposely designed to condone harming black Americans and keeping them enslaved. Though some textbooks on slavery and slave codes refer to enslaved people simply as workers, they were not simply workers. They were treated as an underclass, and the legal system perpetuated that underclass status for economic and prejudicial reasons. Learning about slave codes makes all of this profoundly clear. Slave codes were laws and policies developed during the colonial period to restrict the movement and freedoms of black people. Though they were called slave codes, many times they were applied to free black people as well. Remember that the distinction between Negro and enslaved was essentially meaningless during this time. The primary reason the slave codes were implemented was to explicitly and legally reinforce the racial hierarchy within the colonies. Slave codes were a method of protecting the investment of white enslavers by restricting the lives of enslaved people in almost every imaginable way. The codes restricted enslaved people's ability to move around or engage in commerce that would make them financially independent. They basically restricted the very opportunities that would allow them to live with even relative freedom. When there were hints of enslaved people questioning their status, or even the possibility of someone planning a revolt, new slave codes were quickly passed to prevent such a thing from happening. Virginia was the first of the 13 colonies to implement large-scale slave codes. Since the United States was not quite the United States yet, each colony had their own version of these codes. At the time, they were not yet even referred to as slave codes, but even without the formal title, their purpose remained the same, to fundamentally restrict the rights of black Americans, free and enslaved, and to explicitly deny them the rights afforded to white members of society. Let's take a look at an example.
That's all for now. That's all I give y'all. If you don't do anything, stop, rewind, and pay attention. And if you can't rewind it, just listen to the whole show again. They all good. Go back in archives, but I want y'all to tell somebody about the show and then listen to it openly and honestly, because that's what we need. I'm going over to 4600. That's 4600. You're on deck. It's Empowerment Hour. You talking, I'm listening.
Bring it.
You are on deck. Welcome to the show.
Well, you know, one thing that people should do it started telling history the way it was. And like the last piece that you had, it made mention of white plantation. Well, that was black plantation owners. And Native Americans, should I say the Indians, had slaves too.
All right.
Matter of fact, we talk about Juneteenth. Juneteenth did not apply to Indian nations in this country, especially the what they call five civilized tribes. They didn't release their slaves until a year later, and they demanded that it be paid for their property. But, and you know, the person mentioned about black Americans' history is pertaining to the United States. I think it's best that it's emphasized here in the U.S. and those personage who have, you know, done things to make history. From science, like you had 22 black scientists and physicists that participated on the Manhattan Project in the making of the atomic bomb. And then when people need to be careful when they say like blacks wasn't allowed to go to school, well, that's not true because the project was in the early 40s. That means that they had to go to school in the late 20s to get these degrees in physics, chemistry, mechanical engineering, so on and so on and so on. Now, people talk about ancient Egypt and black American. Black Americans in ancient Egypt is light years apart. That's because people's skin color looks like yours. That don't mean that they can. And look at Muhammad Ali, which was one of my childhood heroes. Well, he went to a town in Ireland called Eunice to hook up with his distant relatives. So the fact is that we're human beings.
Right.
And that's what I taught my kids, that they are human beings. Human being does things. And a lot of it's good, and a lot of it's best. Well, human beings do. And it's the same way in all life. Now, as far as today, I think one of the big problems, and it ain't the only one, is the lack of educational and skill attainment.
There you go. There you go.
The gentleman mentioned Africans. African immigrants, and those of first, second, and third generation have the highest educational attainment than any other ethnic group in the country, more so than whites and more so than Asians at any given time. And they also have a high household income than those two groups in areas too. So then who should you be studying? You should be studying them. How do they achieve this? They should be studied.
I like that.
You made mention of some stars, athletes, like LeBron James or Kobe Bryant. Well, but the question is, how many black young inspired boys was wasted or expended just to produce a Kobe Bryant or a LeBron James? You're talking about doubts.
True.
Because the parents of these boys, because they were boys, you know, you're talking about somebody starting off as early as seven probably, they had to get them equipment, get them to practice, take them to tournaments, and the same thing if they were playing football. But they had to provide competition for a Kobe or LeBron James in order for them to be as great as they are.
That's true.
But those two only made it to the stage, and the other ones went elsewhere. And I know that for a fact. The number one wide-end high school recruit in the country is a nephew of mine. His name is Trey Burton out of Missouri. And if you don't mix up that academics with the sports, then what happens if you don't succeed in the sports? You don't have anything to learn. And academics is being neglected, and it has to improve because they need those skills. You see a kid on the basketball court shooting 100 free throws. Well, why come in at home doing 100 math problems every night?
That's what I'm talking about.
improve on those skills. And
I like that.
We talk about what ain't happened, but there's a lot that is happening. There's a lot of young blacks that's doing some good, marvelous things. Somebody mentioned Lil Wayne. Somebody mentioned Kanye West. They some good business people. Floyd Mayweather, although he can't read, guess what? He's a damn good businessman.
Yes, he is.
He's a damn good businessman. And then you got those young people that's taking the hard subjects, that's keeping their nose to the grindstone and going to class. And the parents, even if they're poor, they provide them with as much exposure as they possibly can. Museums, going to science fairs, listening to lectures. And it pays off. And you got an organization like the National Society of Black Engineers, which started back in 1972, I believe it was, where you had some black engineers wanted to start leading black students into the STEM field.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen in 2 years, 3 years actually, because COVID, after 2019, COVID came along. But in 2017 and 2018 at their national convention, which was in Pittsburgh 1 year and Kansas at the other, you had black young STEM graduates, black STEM graduates were being hired by the hundreds, because Northrop Grumman, they hired 2 years in a row over 400 STEM graduates, not including the other corporations and organizations that was there. And in 2019, Lockheed Martin hired another 400-plus for their operation. So things are going on good, but we need more. We need much,
That's
much
true.
More because there's a demand. And when you have foreigners coming in to meet the lack of availability, well, those should be for Americans, our young people, and others. And if foreigners are here working on work visas, well, when those visas expire, they have to be sent back home and say, we got an American here that's going to take your place.
That's
because
right.
They deserve it. Anyway, I just want to put that out there.
I appreciate that, right? And I thank you for calling the show, because that's what we need. We need perspective, right? We need a beautiful rainbow of perspectives, and I love it. I love you. Keep calling and keep sharing your wisdom. I appreciate you, brother. All right, it's almost time to wrap this up. Man, I love this show. I really do. Because it's a broad range of opportunities to listen and hear and think and learn and grow. There is no one way to be what we are, but there's always a way. That one way is to try to understand each other through communication, through making a commitment to love each other wholeheartedly and unconditionally right where we are. For those who are ahead of the game, turn around and pick somebody else up. For those who are behind, reach your hand out and get up and push forward. And for those who are in the middle, continue to try as hard as you can to just become the best person that you can be. We have to understand that we're a melting pot of people. They didn't bring one group of Africans here on the boat, but they all were on there. And now we find ourselves in this same boat with different languages, different perspectives, different belief systems, one group of people. Let's become that best group of people that continue to pull each other up and pull each other forward. There's a dawning of a new day where we can begin, like Dr. King said, to reach all people. But that has to start inside of a person first. You can't change on the outside what you haven't changed on the inside, because all you'll be doing is just making it up. Can you work internally to become the best person that you can be, mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, culturally? That's all we're asking. Become the best that you can be. And in return, pass it on to the next generation. I thank y'all for calling. I thank you for listening. And I thank you for being a part of this show today. Tell somebody about it. Come back and join us next week. I'll talk to you then. Peace and blessing, y'all.
Without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. diesel and car when I'm late to my rest.
Peace and quietness, you're sure to find.
And the world will be better for this. That one man scorned and covered with scars still strong with his last ounce of courage to reach, oh, to reach the unreachable.
Yeah. Oh,